This Texas Politics Project podcast is produced by the Government Department and the College of Liberal Arts at the University of Texas at Austin. I'm Jim Henson, director of the Texas Politics Project at UT Austin. We released the first statewide poll in collaboration with the Texas Tribune on November 3, 2009. Shortly after the release, Texas Politics polling director and professor of government Darren Shaw sat down with Jason Embry of the Austin American-Statesman to discuss the poll. In this excerpt from that conversation, Professor Shaw explains the methodology behind the internet polling used in the survey.
This is Jason Embry with the First Reading Podcast, and welcome back, and thanks for joining us again this week. Now, let's talk, first of all, the methodology in your poll. There, immediately right out of the gate when it came out this week, and I should say that the poll is sponsored by University of Texas and also the Texas Tribune, right out of the gate this week, there was talk about the fact that the poll is conducted online, and there are a lot of folks out there who immediately disregard so-called internet polls and say that they are not reliable. But y'all obviously have a reason for doing this. And I've gotten the impression from talking to you earlier in the week that you think that there are sort of a lot of misconceptions out there about internet polls. Tell me about why y'all do the poll this way. Talk to me just a little bit about how you do it and what maybe some things that need to be cleared up out there about that.
Sure. I'll try to give you a comprehensive answer, but not go on too on.
Good.
Immediate impetus for this sort of polling is a dissatisfaction with traditional phone polls, and it's not that people have found a flaw in phone polling methodology so much as it is that the reality of the United States has changed so much, and in particular we're talking about the proliferation of cell phones and multiple cell phone addresses that people have. And you talk to anybody who does this kind of polling and they'll say that this is a pretty serious issue. Traditional phone polls depend on landlines and lists of landlines as their method for selecting people randomly to participate in surveys. And it's gotten very difficult to get a credible and comprehensive list of people's phone numbers. And I think that sort of issue, and I should point out, it makes it particularly difficult to sample younger people who obviously are disproportionately likely to have cell phones as opposed to landlines.
Right.
In fact, if in my class, I have about 300 students in my class, and I asked them the other day, how many of you have a landline? I had two people hold up their hands.
Wow.
Yeah, it really is pretty stunning. And so they become a very, very difficult to sample population. And, those few young people that have landlines, how representative are they of the young population generally. So, and everybody acknowledges that this is an issue. And the question then becomes, what do you do about it? And some pollsters have attempted to augment their listing of phone numbers by using commercial lists of people with cell phone numbers, sampling from those lists. Some approaches have been fairly innovative and some have been not so innovative. We've gone in a different direction, and that is, rather than attempt to deal with the cell phone problem, we've gone to what we think is the next generation, which is to online polling. Now, online polling obviously presents its own issues, and I think what you've seen in the academic community, and this is somewhat reflected when people talk about online polling in the media, is that traditional online polls have a deservedly bad reputation. And initially, of course, online poll, people immediately think of things like an ESPN.com poll or,
right,
a CNN.com poll, where people who happen to be on the website encounter the poll and then may or may not send off a response. And, so I was watching ESPN this morning and, 47 of the states hate the Yankees.
Right.
well, this is obviously not a random selection of even the baseball universe, let alone, the American population. People are motivated. And so these are not anything like random representative samples. There's a second kind of internet poll, so we're sort of moving up the ladder of scientific validity, and that's people like Harris Interactive,
yeah,
and to a lesser extent the people at Zogby, have attempted to create universes of email addresses. And, so their issue is somewhat akin to the problem that that people relying on cell phones and other landline universes of phone numbers have. You need to create as broad a universe, as comprehensive a universe of email addresses as you can, and then you randomly select email addresses and send people a poll. The problem is that people have multiple email addresses. The lists aren't nearly comprehensive enough to provide a universe from which you can draw a representative sample. And there are still huge response bias issues.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, people decide not to do it, and the people who don't do it are probably not a random representation of the population.
Sure.
All right. So in light of those issues, you've had a couple of innovative attempts to do online polling. And one I'll mention is Knowledge Networks. What Knowledge Networks did was it actually draw a representative sample through traditional random digit dial techniques. And then when they contacted those people, they asked them if they would be willing to participate in an online survey. So the contacting is through these traditional random digit dial techniques. But then they would say, okay, if you participate in this thing, we'll actually give you internet access for a year or 2 years. We will, in the case of people who were did not have computers, they would actually send them laptops.
Wow.
And make them available to people.
Yeah.
And this was kind of an interesting approach and created this, you know, and I think their initial sample was something like 4,000 people or things like that. It was a really innovative effort. Now, of course, the issue over time becomes once those people participate in a sample or two, maybe even before they participate, you could argue that they've been cued to think more about politics or commercial
right.
activities. And so, you know, there's an old Jimmy Stewart movie called Magic Town.
Uh-huh.
Know, it was the perfect community. It represented America perfectly.
Yeah.
And of course, the kicker is that as soon as they figure out that they're Magic Town, they cease to be Magic Town. And
right.
that's kind of the problem with the Knowledge Network stuff at some level. We're actually kind of a generation beyond that. The idea behind Polymetrics YouGov polling, online polling technique, is that what you want to do is to create an enormous pool of people, as broad and with as much diversity as possible. And so they've got a pool now in excess of 1 million people.
In Texas?
No, nationally.
Okay.
And actually, I'm not quite sure how much. Initially, I think their pool was close to 2 million, but I don't want to
sure.
claim it's larger than it actually is. But these people participate because they've been, you know, they've contacted through random randomized techniques to get some people in. Other people, they've got them through mall intercepts. They just want everybody. And in fact, they've been particularly aggressive in trying to get people from hard to reach populations.
Yeah.
So younger people, ethnic minorities, et cetera. And, you know, sometimes they'll offer them a tote bag or, you know, some kind of incentive to just get them in a pool. And the pool simply means that you agree at some point to an email. You may get an email that says, you know, would you participate in this survey, right? But there's no selection process at this point. It's simply creating as large a pool of people as possible.
Okay.
And then what happens is the Polymetrics YouGov will actually select a random sample through traditional random digit dial techniques. So 1,000 people or 800 people randomly selected through these traditional phone techniques. They get there are 800 individuals, let's say, that have been selected through probability sampling techniques to be surveyed. And those people will have, you know, obviously gender, age, education, political backgrounds. And what Polymetrics does is they match people who've been selected to people in their pool.
Okay.
And those individuals in the pool will then be, you know, the best quality match, you know, the individual who scores highest based on the methodology they run to select a match, will be sent the online sample. And so in our case, you know, you're talking about you select individuals randomly from the state of Texas, and let's say you get somebody from Austin, strangely enough, a postgraduate education,
yeah.
Leans Democrat, 35 years of age. You run a match in the pool. You find somebody who fits that profile. That person then is sent the survey.
Okay.
And so, you know, from our perspective, the important questions become, you know, how deep is the Polymetrics pool, the Polymetrics YouGov pool? How good are the matches, right? Which is a different set of questions than you have in a traditional phone survey, where the questions tend to be, you know, who didn't respond to the phone call? What are the response rates?
Right.
You know, those sorts of things.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry to be so long-winded, but it actually is a fairly complex
right. No,
issue,
it's not easy. Yeah. One concern I've heard, and then we'll move on to the political side of all this, but is that it oversamples people who are interested, engaged in politics more than maybe the normal person. Is that a concern?
I think what we've seen in our preliminary surveys, and this is the first time we partnered with the Texas Tribune. We've done, I think, 4 of these polls previous to this one. And from our perspective, the sample, you know, tends to be the initial sample, tends to be a little highly educated. It's not that you oversample young people. That's actually not been an issue. One issue in the state of Texas is it's very difficult difficult to get people for whom Latino respondents for whom English is the non-preferred language.
Interesting.
That's tough.
Yeah.
And, you know, actually, we've had several people have called and said, well, you don't have enough Spanish-speaking Latinos in your sample. And our response is, yeah, you know, that's true. It's very difficult to get the. But I would also point out, show me a traditional phone sample that's done a really good job of getting, you know, Spanish-speaking Hispanics in their survey. It's very, very difficult to get. And, you know, from our perspective, it again speaks to the depth of the matching pool and, you know, getting people like that. So I should also point out that, like any traditional phone-based survey, the data that we get back are weighted. So if, in fact, you know, the poll has too many young respondents, which it doesn't tend to have, but if it did, those people would be weighted. So the real question then becomes, do the older people or, you know, do the less educated young people, do the ones that you have look like those that exist in the population? Because that's always the assumption you're making when you're weighting up a subpopulation.
The Texas Politics Project helps students and the general public become more thoughtful and active political participants by educating Texans about the workings of Texas government, politics, and public opinion. The project is a production of the Department of Government and the College of Liberal Arts at the University of Texas at Austin. I'm Jim Henson. Thanks for listening.